This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. I'm back. All right, had girls' state basketball, boys' state basketball, and the like. You gonna make it sound convincing when I ask you? Did you miss me?
Oh, absolutely missed you. I've been waiting for you to come back.
Dude, that's the best you've ever done. I don't believe you at all, mostly because of the way I set it up. I put you in a difficult spot, but you handled it great. But it's good to be back. Nebraska basketball, NCAA tournament, women's basketball plays tomorrow night versus Richmond. And, of course, Nebraska football, which is this is kind of odd to say. On a bye week? Is that how you say it when you take spring break? Yeah. In the middle of spring practice, a bye week? All right, they practiced, 3 weeks, and they got this week off for spring break. Then they head into game week next week and into the spring game. There's a lot of college football teams that won't have even started spring practice. And we'll be done. Like UCLA, I think it's April 3rd. They kick it off. It was kind of interesting to me that the cold weather team, in the coldest part of the year that you can have spring ball reasonably, maybe we'll do it in January next year. Who knows? I'm all for doing whatever works. Hey, we get more wins next year. Let's keep moving it up, okay? But the cold weather team chose to have spring ball in a colder part of year while the warm weather team pushed it back. They're not the only one. There's other teams. I don't think Oregon will have started until after we're done. So it's just kind of intriguing. But we have talked about this before. I actually like the way the Matt Rhule laid it out. 6 weeks of winter conditioning. They could start a week earlier due to the school calendar being moved up. Second semester starting a week earlier, so they could get 6 weeks of winter conditioning. Then they had 5 weeks to get 4 weeks of practice in with that bye week, that spring break week, which is now this week in the middle, then 6 more weeks, then a little bit of a break, then they come back for summer conditioning. So I actually like the way they laid it out. We got to get bigger. We got to get faster. We got to get stronger. We got to get tougher mentally, physically, and all that starts in the weight room. Tom Osborne, it's funny. I'm coaching my twins basketball team. This is like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And my wife calls me. She goes, "You'll never guess who's here." I'm like, "Okay. Did the Pope show up or something? Like, who is here right now?" I walk out there, and it's a Coach Osborne. Nobody's standing next to him, by the way. Like, they're all like all the parents can see him, and they're like, you know, whispering and looking out the side. Like, they're terrified to go over to him. So, anyways, I went over, chatted with him, talked with him. You never know who's going to show up anywhere you go. But it's always fun to talk about. The offseason is almost always fun to talk about things. This year's been a little bit more challenging, I would say. I actually just watched Josh Pate. Spring football intel for Nebraska. You want to know how he wrapped up it wasn't just Nebraska. I think it was like Clemson and all these other schools. But Nebraska was one of them. You want to know how he wrapped up the Nebraska part of the segment?
Yeah.
Have you heard this?
I saw a brief clip of it, and it didn't seem like he was too high on it.
You got to watch the whole clip. No. So last year, he predicted us to be a playoff team. He talked about how the wide receivers were playmakers. Like, clearly, the folks down at the university are telling him things. Like, this is what we want out there, okay? Totally cool with that. No problem with that. This is the message we want out. Obviously, you want it to be a positive message and whatnot. And that didn't come to fruition. You could kind of tell he felt foolish at the end of the football season, the way things kind of wrapped up, the playoff teams versus the non-playoff teams. Of course, it wasn't just Nebraska. You know, you get some right, you get some wrong. No big deal. But I was kind of curious how he was going to approach his Nebraska offseason coverage this year. You know, did he feel burned? Did he feel misled? Could he trust them? And he doesn't hype it up a lot, but he ends it by saying, it's a long runway. It's a long offseason. I could talk myself into 7, 8, you know, maybe 9 wins for Nebraska. There's a long offseason to get myself talked into it. I'm just sitting there thinking, oh. E2, Josh Pate, E2, all right. Let's see what happens as this offseason progresses. You look at On3, J.D. Pickell, you know, Ja'Cory Barney makes a phenomenal catch in practice. I will say this, it was a phenomenal catch, but it was a phenomenal catch. He did a whole entire segment off the catch, which is exciting. I'm a big fan of Ja'Cory. I have been, not just the way he plays, Hopefully we can get the ball in his hands more. Hopefully we can take advantage of his skill set on sweeps and rounds, getting the ball in his hand in space. I'd love him to see him possibly return more kicks this year. Rant and rave about Kwazi Gilmer, obviously. You heard nothing but great things this offseason. I'm excited to see what Isaiah Hunter can do, who flew under the radar last offseason. Now I feel like he's doing it again this offseason. But, you know, Ja'Cory made a phenomenal catch, and I can't wait to see what he can do. But I thought it was interesting. Pakel did an entire, I shouldn't say entire, it was like eight minutes, 10 minutes maybe, off this one highlight. So it's easy to go one way or the other in the offseason is what I'm getting at. Like, I love that there's still positive news out there about Nebraska football because nobody truly knows what's going to happen. Like, do you really know what's going to happen next fall?
No, not at all.
It seems like a dumb question. But, like, every year we convince ourselves this is what's going to happen, and then we have no freaking clue. The ball kicks off. That ball is shaped all sorts of funny, goofy ways. It bounces all over the place. All hell breaks loose, and it's called college football. And that's why we love it so much. Like, Nebraska could go 6-6. They could go 5-7. They could go 9-3. They could go 3-9. Is not all of that, like other than 12-0, 0-12, is not all of that reasonably plausible in, like, somewhat some version of a realistic world out there somewhere as we sit here right here right now in March?
It is. It you know, the more I talk myself into 9 wins every offseason and don't get it, the less I believe it's more plausible. But, yeah, I mean, it's happened before here, certainly.
I get it. I totally get it. It's just the offseason is always – it's always entertaining for me for a couple of reasons. Number one, what's the attitude when you start the offseason? What's the attitude as the offseason progresses? And as Pate put it, it's a long runway to talk myself into 9 wins. Then what does it look like come August? And then by the time we go into that first game week, we're going to sit, you know, we could sit here and debate, well, Nebraska, the over-under, what was 5.5 from Vegas last week? Will they get to 6? We could be sitting here in August. All right, 9 or 10. What's it going to be, Jake? 9 or 10? Is it 9 or 10? 8 or 9, 7? You never know how it's going to progress. It's always entertaining for me to see a couple of things. The folks that I pay attention to, okay, the folks that I respect their opinions, where do they start the offseason? How does it progress? And then where do they end the offseason as we head into game week of week one? Number two, how do I progress? Because I will find myself, obviously you learn things. We get players through the portal in January. That's technically part of the offseason, even though we're still playing the playoffs. Is that the offseason or not? How does that work in college football? How would you define that? January makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's tough to say. It's, yeah, you hit it on the nail on the head. It's part offseason.
Yeah, it was part of our offseason, so yeah. I'm going to call it the offseason.
A lot of folks' offseason.
Yeah. I would like it to be part of our season at some point, but for now, it's part of our offseason. So you get news in the portal, throughout the portal. Then you hear things in there, here and there from coaches, and you get to know things. And, you know, if you got people on the inside to help you out, if you know things to kind of help you out, a little bit of inside info, then you just see how things progress. You hear spring ball. You learn things throughout spring ball. Like right now, the offensive line looks really good. You hear things about the offensive line looking really good. The offensive line is freaking huge. Did you see a picture? Let me see. Did you see that picture? I've got it here. Of Jeep Wade compared to the rest of the offensive line. Now, obviously, Jeep Wade is not an offensive lineman. He didn't play college football, did he?
I could look into it.
Yeah, sure. Look into it. Okay, they tower over him. So it's kind of like my wife right now. And I mean this respectfully because obviously I love my wife. I'm a big fan of Jeep Wade. Like, our kids are tall. My wife's a front rower for life in our family. Like, we've got 10-year-olds that are starting to look her eye to eye, okay? And there's going to come a day where she's getting on our kids. That finger's going to be wagging upward. You know what I mean? I almost envision that with Jeep Wade. Like, he's getting on him, but the finger's wagging upward. And again, I mean that respectfully. Comically, but like a respectful comic version of that. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing when the offensive line is that big. Like, you look at, let me see here, Paul Mubenga, 6'5", 315. He's actually not one of the bigger ones. Okay, Elijah Pritchett, 6'6", 325. You look at Brendan Black, 6'4", 320. Tree Babalade, 6'5", 330. All right, Claude Mpuma, 4-star freshman tackle thrown in here as well. 6'5", 338 is the true freshman. Mm. Justin Evans, just a mere 6'2", 315. Yeah, just a mere. So the offensive line is clearly bigger, but you hear how athletic they are compared to last year. Now, when you think about, as much as I'm a fan of a lot of the guys who played over the past few years on that offensive line and battled injuries, like, I will forevermore root for Teddy Prochazka. Came back from all those knee injuries. Unfortunately, got hurt again, okay? But Teddy comes back. You've got all these other guys. I'm not going to list all of them from Corcoran and everyone else who battled, and they were seemingly here forever, okay? But when you're battling those things and they start to stack up over time, it's going to limit your mobility. So we always had size. We always had power. We've got athleticism. Now, is the power at the same level? Did the power go up? Did the power go down? How does that all work together? But with the offensive line, you start to hear, well, we knew how big they were.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
You start to hear things about them. You start to hear, like, a lot of these guys were highly recruited, very highly recruited. So you expect there to be a certain amount of athleticism. There's already going to be the amount of size. And you got Jeep Wade with the coaching. And I absolutely expect the offensive line to be better. I think they're going to be noticeably better. The first thing that people are going to watch is the amount of sacks we give up. Okay. And I think that's a fair thing to keep an eye on. So the pass pro, as long as they communicate. There was too many free runners to the quarterback last year where there were guys just on the wrong page. It had nothing to do with how well you could block. It was, we didn't block that guy. It happened too many times. You go back to the abhorred Minnesota game. We gave up nine sacks that game. You remember how many free runners we had that game? I've mentioned it multiple times on the show. Do you happen to remember it all?
I don't know how many.
Jeez. 10 times we had a guy come completely unblocked towards the quarterback. So you just start with communication. That is something that could be remedied very quickly. Then you talk about the ability to pass protect one-on-one as opposed to getting, like, our tackles struggled to protect around the edges last year, especially do it on a consistent basis. And I'm sure they would admit that it wasn't where they wanted it to be, hoping to improve that. So then you just have the ability, the athleticism, the mobility to protect better in those one-on-one situations. There's a reason the guys that are the highest paid in the NFL are the quarterbacks, the guys who can get after the quarterbacks, the guys who can protect the quarterbacks, the guys who can catch the rock from the quarterback, and the guys who guard the guys who catch the rock from the quarterback. In other words, quarterbacks, offensive tackles, pass rushers, wide receivers, DBs. Those are your highest paid players in the NFL. Well, it's very similar in college football. Now, there's a reason for that. If you can win that one-on-one battle as a team more often than not, you've got a gigantic advantage. A gigantic advantage. If you can't, now you have to start changing your scheme. And if you remember Dana Holgerson's first press conference of the spring, I forget the exact wordage, so I'm going to paraphrase. He basically said it's going to be nice to be able to call plays that I think work best rather than calling the plays. I'm paraphrasing the plays I have to based on our players' limitations or the limitations of the offense. Okay, and every offense is going to have strengths and limitations and things they need to work on, but they were glaring last year. We kind of know what they are. So for me, I look at the offensive line. I look at what I firmly believe to be a noticeably improved offensive line. Now, what does that mean? Noticeably improved. Adam, does that mean we're going to be really good? I don't know. Great? I don't know. Above average? I don't know. Average? I don't know. What I'm going with is noticeably improved. Like, clearly improved. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I have no idea how good we're going to be other than we're going to definitely be better on the offensive line. And that is one of the safest preseason predictions I've made in years. I feel very safe saying that. You got any holes you want to poke in my argument? Because if you do, go ahead. Like, poke away, man.
Well, I mean, the only argument you could have is obviously Emmitt Johnson's numbers. Are they going to be able to do that again for the ground game?
What is that? Oh, I said offensive line. Well, right, I said offensive line play as a whole here.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
You took it a different direction.
Well, no, that's part of it. Are you going to be able? You had one of the top running backs in the nation behind that offensive line. Are you going to get a similar result this year?
Okay, you should want to talk about the ground game specifically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. I actually think it can be better. Pause for effect. Dead air out there, ladies and gentlemen. Dead air. Pause for effect. Here's why. We were 68th in the country in passing last year. 80th in run offense. We had the Big Ten's best running back, who had the 80th best rushing offense as a team. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that. Now, part of that is all the sacks. Again, why can't we just have a different stat number for all the sack? Like, why does it have to come off the rushing total? It's a misleading. So, instantly, I think we're going to be better at protecting the quarterback from an offensive line perspective. Instantly, our quarterback makes quick decisions. He does. And then he's got the ability, and he will take off and run and scramble, make off-script plays. By the way, several things that Pate said, he referred to Kwasi Gilmore specifically. He used the exact term off-script plays. Well, it's funny because when you hear them speak down at the press conferences and the coaches talk, that's the exact verbiage they use. So obviously there's things that they feel good about that they want to get out there, and they want a positive message out there, which obviously I support. But I think instantly the sack numbers are going to go down for, I think, beyond obvious reasons, but the reasons I just diatribed. So instantly our rushing totals are going to go up. Because again, for some reason, that's part of the rushing stats. Again, can we make the sack yards different than the rushing total? Because it jades everything. It's misleading. But instantly our rushing totals as a team are going to be better. Now, do I think we have another Emmett Johnson in that backfield? I didn't think we had an Emmett Johnson in the backfield last offseason. I just thought, finally, our best running back's going to be starting going into the season, which was Emmett. And then he had the freaking season he did, which was phenomenal. So I don't know if we have another Emmett Johnson in that backfield. I don't know if we have to, because it's going to be a little bit more running back by committee, whether it's Mosey, whether it's
Mekhi Nelson.
Yes, thank you. Mekhi Nelson. You got Connor Booth, Quentin Ives. You hear a ton about Jamal Rule. Those seem to be the top three. From Mosey, kind of my gut tells me he may get that starting job, maybe the most well-rounded of the backs. Then you got Mekhi, pretty explosive. Then you got Jamal, who they really, really love. And I'm not saying the other guys can't get play time too, because Holgorsen literally said, we didn't go get a portal running back because Quentin Ives had the December he did. So maybe those short yardage situations are better next year. Emmett was a really good running back. I wouldn't point to him and say, hey, that's a great short yardage back. Literally great at just about everything else. Like, the two things that he needs to work on the most, number one would be pass protection, okay? Blocking is a pass protector. And short yardage, but it's just kind of not how he's built. So that's why you have multiple backs who play in a football game, all right? And you sub him in and out. So I would say just pass protection, number one, for him. So this year, we could have different guys for different situations. You know, maybe Ives is that short yardage back. You got Isaiah Mosey for the, if you want to start a guy, it's a little bit more well-rounded. Mekhi's got his strengths. Jamal's got his strengths. So as a more, I don't know, I want to say running back by committee approach, maybe that's what it'll be, but multiple running backs playing more often in the game, it was amazing, Emmett's durability and his endurance. But it obviously lessens the opportunity for injury, and it obviously increases the freshness that the guys will be throughout the game. Now, the only drawback, I will tell you right now as a defender, things you look at for tips of what an offense is going to do. You look at formations and sets. You know, what's the personnel? 13 personnel, one running back, three wide receivers. Is it 21, two running backs, one tight end? Like, what is the personnel? Where are they lined up? Because every team has tendencies. Beyond that, who's the tight end in the game? Now, most teams have a starting tight end, but sometimes they'll have a blocking tight end, and they'll have a receiving tight end. You look, okay, which tight end? But the biggest tip, the biggest single tip you can get as a defender is which running back's in the game. Now, if you've got an Emmett, a team with an Emmett-style back, it's not much of a tip because he's almost always in the game. The only downside to having multiple guys doing multiple things is it can sometimes become fairly predictable. This guy's in for short yardage. They're going to run power. This guy's in for this. This guy's in for that. Now, I played for Shanahan in D.C., and I've heard him tell this story no less than a dozen times, and it's an epic story, so why not? Big-time underdogs, 96 Super Bowl versus the Green Bay Packers, Brett Favre. Terrell Davis is eating up the Packers' defense. He suffers a concussion in the middle of the game. All right. And he tells Shanahan. And Shanahan's like, all right, fine. We can't give you the ball, but you've got to stay in the game. Because if you're not in the game, nobody's going to believe this play is happening. I don't know who their backup was. But they're like, if we put him in, they're not going to believe we're giving him the ball. Just carry out the play action. And then it was the John Elway bootleg, where he took off and got helicoptered. You remember that play? So that's the play. So sometimes you can use your own tendencies to mislead the defense, but you can't do that all the time for obvious reasons, because you want to have guys who have their strengths at what they do in the games at certain points in the game. But sometimes you can use that against the defense in a key situation. All right. Any final thoughts there, Jake, on this topic?
No, not for now.
Okay. Before we go to break, we come back. We should talk maybe some college basketball. Thoughts on that? College basketball, women's basketball, NCAA tournament. I asked Jake if he wanted to do an NCAA tournament pick 'em, and he said, no, you're a loser, and I want to do it with Terrell Durenbach in the black shirt. Is that not a direct quote?
I think that's exactly what I said. Yeah.
That is exactly what you said. It hurt my feelings almost. All right. So we are going to talk some college basketball, but after this, Bach in the black shirt, they're going to do a full NCAA tournament pick 'em all the way down. They will guarantee they're telling you who the national champ is. Isn't that right?
Yeah, between the three of us, we might get one.
Well, we do. I like that. Between the three of us, we might pick the right national champion. Before we head to break, though, all right, as a former Husker and NFL player, you all know I'm a bit of a health nut. Hydration and recovery, they do start at home. Make sure you team up with Culligan of Lincoln like I have. Soft water means better showers, cleaner dishes, and it protects my water heater and appliances. Their high-efficiency softener cuts salt and water uses. For drinking, make sure you add, like I did, a Culligan Reverse Osmosis. It's like bottle-quality water right at my tap. Great taste and is certified to reduce tough contaminants like lead and PFAS. Right now, check out their spring specials as we celebrate March Madness, and make sure you stay hydrated through all the fun. Culligan of Lincoln, ladies and gentlemen, is the place to be. Water you love, go Big Red. Limited time offer. Participating dealers. Restrictions may apply. Learn more at CulliganLincoln.com/basketball. Also, Buffalo Wings and Rings broadcast. Make sure you join us here at 93.7 The Ticket as we watch day one. And the Nebraska basketball game will be going on live during this show. 11:40 on Thursday. The show is noon to one. So we will be literally broadcasting at Buffalo Wings and Rings live during the Nebraska basketball game on Thursday as they curb stomp and mollywop a Troy. Isn't that right, Jake?
That's right.
All right. Let's see here. Join us from Buffalo Wings and Rings on 68 and O. Doors open at 10 a.m. with the first game tipping off shortly after 11 a.m. Nebraska at 11:40. Be one of the first 64 people in the door and receive a ping pong ball with a specific team on it for you to win prizes throughout the tournament. Additional prizes will be given away as we broadcast live from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we'll have plenty of post-game coverage after Nebraska faces Troy. Stop by Buffalo Wings and Rings at 68th and O this Thursday and Friday for March Madness from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Don't go anywhere.